this month's episode of the Plotopsy Podcast, here on the Misanthropy Movie Blog. Today I'll be talking about the behind-the-scenes antics and trivia surrounding the Stephen King cult classic Maximum Overdrive. 1986's Maximum Overdrive is one of the most beloved, ridiculous cult classics to come out of the 1980s. References to this flick have popped up in shows like Castle, Supernatural, and The Simpsons, the last of which famously features Maximum Overdrive actress Yeardley Smith as the voice of Lisa Simpson. Maximum Overdrive is one of the few attempts by star Emilio Estevez, known mostly at this point for The Breakfast Club, to break into more serious leading roles. I would also recommend checking out the 1992 sci-fi flick Free Jack, where Estevez appears alongside Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones and Anthony Hopkins, fresh off his award-winning role as Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. It's a strange adaptation of a 1950s sci-fi novel, Immortality, Inc. Estevez would ultimately find success with a handful of comedy family roles, famously in the Mighty Ducks franchise, and more recently has found himself with lauded credits behind the scenes, with writing-directing on Bobby in 2006 and The Way in 2012. Maximum Overdrive is the only directorial feature by Stephen King. He was once asked why he hasn't directed since, to which he responded, "Just watch Maximum Overdrive." However, he has also indicated some interest in taking up the director's chair again in the future, in a more sober state of mind. Speaking of which, Maximum Overdrive was made in the midst of a serious cocaine problem for Stephen King. King has stated he was, quote, coked out of his mind throughout the production, which almost surely affected his ability to fulfill his directorial duties. Director of photography Armando Nannuzzi was seriously injured in an on-set freak accident involving a remote-controlled lawnmower. This resulted in the loss of his right eye, as well as a hefty lawsuit against King that was settled out of court, surely for millions. Maximum Overdrive is based very loosely on a Stephen King short story called Trucks, which was later ironically more faithfully adapted by Chris Thompson in a 1997 movie of the same name. This is notable because, as stated in the trailer for Maximum Overdrive, King's primary motivation in directing the movie is due to his feeling that directors had not treated his content faithfully enough on screen. This famously includes Kubrick's legendary adaptation of King's work The Shining.
A lot of people have directed Stephen King novels and stories. And I finally decided if you want something done right, you ought to do it yourself.
Comic book aficionados may recognize the face on the front of the primary evil truck as that of the Green Goblin, one of Spider-Man's main antagonists in Marvel Comics. Green Goblin's killing of Peter Parker's love interest Gwen Stacy is cited as one of the most revolutionary events in the history of comic books, an event which was recently featured on screen in 2014's The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, why is the truck made in Goblin's image in this movie? Who knows? Maximum Overdrive is primarily remembered for its many over-the-top unlikely deaths, such as killings via soda vending machine, arcade cabinet, and steamroller. However, it is also perhaps more fondly remembered, in pop culture at least, for the AC/DC Helm soundtrack, which included the debut of hit Who Made Who, and numerous other original and remixed songs specifically for this film. The beloved rock band was specifically chosen by Stephen King to do the soundtrack. The band even makes a brief cameo in the movie, together all on a speedboat, which keen eyes might spot. Stephen King himself opens the film with a cameo, in which he is accosted by an ATM. The ATM reads shocking messages such as, "You are an asshole," a gimmick that most famously is associated with the climax of 2000's American Psycho, when an ATM reads the star Christian Bale, "Feed me a stray cat." But note that Maximum Overdrive did it first. Maximum Overdrive is one of the first bad movies I saw as a kid, outside of the Godzilla Toho features, so it has a special place in my heart. I highly recommend giving it a watch. The effects and plot are astoundingly over the top and ridiculous, and the pace never lets up. I wonder if this is a result of King's cocaine hobby at the time. In any case, it is a hell of a good time for bad movie lovers. So, into the plotopsy of the matter, what could have saved Maximum Overdrive? Clearly, King's cocaine habit and hubris both had a significant impact on the production. However, I don't think Maximum Overdrive would be so well remembered without its failings. Overdrive is a genuinely enjoyable, good-bad movie, and attempts to fix it could easily have thrown off the precarious balance of its charm. The flaws are arranged in such a baffling way as to make the movie a sort of accidental masterpiece, a sort of Pollock painting of gore and cocaine. Corrections could have just guided this film into the realm of mediocrity. I mentioned 1997's Trucks earlier, and that seems to be exactly what happened with that production. It isn't nearly as widely known or loved as Maximum Overdrive, because it is, arguably at least, more competently crafted and subdued in mechanics and tone, which is counter to conventional wisdom to be sure, but true nonetheless. Maximum Overdrive stands as a strangely beautiful beast, which bad movie lovers can laud as a paragon of the quasi-genre. So that's all for today's episode of the Plotopsy Podcast here at the Misanthropy Movie Blog. Next month, you can look forward to three Christmas features here on the show as part of a cooperative pod crawl with the Stinker Madness Podcast, the JT Movie Podcast, Dark Corners of This Sick World on YouTube, and the If We Made It Podcast. The crawl starts on December 1st over at Stinker Madness with their take on Home Alone 3, and I'll be joining in on December 5th with the beloved IMDb Bottom 100 feature Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.